Welcome back to Don't Brass Sacks 4341790. Good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air. Yes, good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon.
How are you, sir?
Pretty well, and you, sir?
I'm great.
I want to first compliment the...
Oh, this is Mark?
It's Mark, yeah.
Okay, I didn't pick you up at first.
I want to say a very special good morning to the VOB staff, Stockholm staff, and to most of those persons who have said that, you know, when I call with something constructive regardless of what it is. This morning, I believe that I have the right call. And it is dealing with yesterday's Nation editorial, Secure and Free, a comment made by Magistrate Douglas Frederick in relation to opening up the courts from the point of view of this restriction as far as the public is concerned and being controlled. And he went on to mention that the courts are public and they should be treated like that. Now, I am saying that I am calling on the Speaker of the House Assembly, who is responsible for the precincts of Parliament, that he should also make a call to the general public to be able to attend in the public gallery sessions of Parliament, which now only 2, 3, and 4 people go into the public gallery for certain serious debates. And I am of the opinion, too, that there are members of Parliament, Peter, members of Parliament who have never went into the upper chamber as far as the Senate is concerned.
You haven't went?
Of course, come on.
Okay. I know you were a member of Parliament, but I didn't know you went otherwise.
I went into the Senate on more than one occasion, but what I'm trying to explain here, and let's say that the laws of the country starts within the upper and the lower chamber. And you and I would have known that many, many years ago that many people assembled to hear the parliamentary debates as put through by the various politicians of the day.
Did it come Barbie and had a choice? We had a choice.
Peter, let's get serious, right?
Mark, I'm getting serious. We did not have a choice. If you wanted to hear parliamentary debates, sir, the last time I went to Parliament was when they had Erskine Sandifer, when I was a student at the community college, back in 1987 or 88. You were probably a child then. Sandy took us to Parliament to listen to a debate.
Peter, you are a student of politics.
And I understand that, but I never went back since. I went back when they had the vote against Sandy Fur, the no confidence motion, and I could not get in because there were too many people inside.
Peter, let me explain my point. I agree with what you're saying. Right now, the parliamentary debates are carried on radio.
Precisely, so then why would you want to go? And you can also watch it live on web.
Peter, I am saying to you, the interests of politics in this country will continue to win if I'm hearing the things you are saying, because you are contented with what you, Peter, is accustomed to. I'm saying there are many people in this country who, in truthful fact, are ignorant of one, Parliament, the August Chamber. They're ignorant of certain procedures within the Parliament, and they're ignorant of some of the debates that they discuss.
Mark, explain this to me. How am I going to become less ignorant by going to stand up in a line to wait to go inside, to have somebody search me, to classify me as a stranger, so that I can enjoy myself or express myself or whatnot in there, as opposed to watching it on my computer screen at my desk?
You can't wait back to me, Peter.
Hold on
a minute, please, and I want to debate this, but they could find their time in the droves, in the nice linens and the nice suits and everything to go to the opening of Parliament.
Because that's different. It's a state occasion and they got food.
I'm serious about what I'm saying. I'm serious.
But Mark, I'm not making sport either. If you tell me, I will go to but I didn't go to that one neither. But I'm saying that it's possible that people will go to that and they will have food after, but they're not going to go here and debate a Parliament.
Let's debate this before being critical. I am saying that the lifeblood of this country falls within two instances here. One, within the Master Courts of Barbados. I go with what Magistrate Douglas have said, that as far as there were times that people would have gone out by the court to assemble to hear cases. I am saying that there were times in this country, regardless of what, that the importance of debates and the importance within the precincts of Parliament. All I am saying at this particular moment, that even though the debates are carried on radio, and the Speaker of the House of Assembly is responsible for the precincts of Parliament, and I'm saying that there's some way that you could invite people to hear debates within the halls of Parliament.
Mark,
it is impossible. Let me finish what I'm saying. It is impossible for the parliamentarians and the parliament to be putting forward some excellent comments at times, though myself already said I made a comment sometimes, and then to look into the public gallery to find that there's no one within the public gallery. Mm-hmm. But if you look within, hold on, if you look within the visitors gallery, you're seeing civil servants who are there who have been asked to attend parliament for certain reasons. Peter, let's be frank.
And then they got a choice neither?
Peter.
You think if them had a choice, they will go?
Peter, your negativity and...
But it's a question of negativity, Mark. Listen, Peter, Mark, if you televise Magistrates Court's cases, I would be interested in watching it on television.
Peter,
if you put them on the radio, I would be interested. The few times I have been to the Magistrates Court, again, I have been as a student. Justice Chandler took me as a student to watch Magistrates Court debate.
Can I be frank with you?
Hold on a second, Mark. Let me speak. If I wanted to go and watch Magistrates Court hearings tomorrow, I would not be able to get in. And I understand where his worship is going with that. And I agree with him that I should be able to go. The problem is that invariably when you get there, the police tell you, you can't just go in there and sit down and watch. But we should be able to. But the point is that if we were able to do the same thing with the Magistrates Courts that we have done with Parliament, which is to put it on video cam, that I could sit down at my desk and pull up a screen and watch the debate, people don't be going in there neither, because you get the benefit of seeing justice without going.
Peter, I like to discuss things with you.
I like to discuss with you too.
No. Let me explain something to you, right? The system can be put in place as far as the search is concerned and entering the public gallery of Parliament. The system can be put in place. I am saying to you that somewhere along the line, everybody may not be as familiar with Peter or Mark Williams. Everybody may not be familiar as far as certain things are concerned, but somewhere along the line, occasionally they will take children from various schools and take them into the halls of Parliament. I am saying to you, and I question this, for them to tell me what I'm saying is not true, that the members of Parliament who are in the Parliament today, who have never ever found time or will not find time to go into the upper chamber.
And Mark, I'm saying to you that if they are able to watch debates on their phone, right, in the comfort of their office, why would that be a problem? You saw what happened in the last election with political meetings. Now, I know that there was a problem with DLT meetings and nobody didn't go in. But outside of that, I think that attendance at political meetings was seriously affected by the fact that they were all being broadcast and people were watching. Are you seeing 3,000 people in a crowd and 5,000 online? Because most people prefer to watch a meeting or to watch a debate or to watch something like that home in the house. And just sit down with a cup of coffee or with a glass of wine and watch. And then if they feel they want to express themselves about something, they can. You can't do that when you're in Parliament. If you see that he's talking nonsense, right, or the other word that we would use, you can't say that when you're in Parliament, but if you're home, you can say as loud as you want.
Peter, you can be disciplined. You know this is the only Parliament. This Barbados is the only Parliament within the Commonwealth system that, and as far as I'm concerned, that is treated with so much cat respect.
No. Mark, listen. Mark, the challenge with all of the Parliaments now is that all of them are going online. And once you get to go online, people are not listening in or going to stand up in the public gallery because market is a nuisance.
Peter, let me explain my personal experience, right? I had to stand in line as a member of a Barbados delegation to the Commonwealth Parliamentary Association and into the House of Commons. I had to stay in line. I had to be checked.
No, you had to.
All the diplomatic approach that was passed on, I had to carry out what was expected of that country. That has been maintained the halls of parliament. There are certain things that have to be there. And I stood in line, I wait my turn, I was checked, I went through the scanner, and I entered the
public
gallery.
Mark, you wanted to.
Peter, stop being negative.
Mark, you wanted to.
Peter, I could not walk into the people's chamber.
But precisely, and I don't have a problem with that. All I'm saying is that because you can't just walk in, you have to be searched. So if you are like me, right, you don't particularly want to be searched more than you have to be there. You will watch at home.
As any member of parliament, no, the young ones that are into parliament, if they will not feel comfortable in looking into the public gallery and feeling that some people from their constituency are seated within the public gallery hearing their presentation.
If they invite them and give them food after, they will come. If they invite them to dinner after, they would come.
Peter, don't do that. I can't buy that. Let me explain something.
But you ain't got to buy it. That's what it is.
All I'm asking, and I go back to point, a good call. All I'm asking is that Douglas have found it fit to appeal to the security guards and people in place to let the public understand that
it's commendable.
Right. I am saying that regardless of what, and I've said from my experience, I've stood outside of the Supreme Court for many times and see crowds out there. I am also saying that within the precincts of Parliament, that there is even a museum in Parliament that nobody knows anything about.
Right.
I am saying that.
I've been twice.
Right. You see, okay, I agree with you. I am saying that here's the time that through the Government Information Service, and here's the time that the Speaker, who is responsible, can say, well, look, let's remove these restrictions that are placed on public, John Public, for entering the Gallery of Parliament.
But there's no restriction. Mark, anybody can go and watch a debate if they want to. Once you are appropriately dressed, you can go in.
You just said it. The restrictions, you have to stand up in the line and the security guard when
it's... Right. And that for many people is a game changer.
I believe that if we are to move our politics to another level, young people in this country to understand...
From time to time, right? I would get a call from somebody and they tell me, you are come to do a presentation in one of the other islands. And it means I have to dress, leave my house, go to the airport, get searched. If I go to St. Kitts, I got to get searched in Barbados, I got to get searched in Antigua, and then you get to St. Kitts. So I get searched twice in one day. Hold on a second, Mark. If you are saying to me that there's a facility where I can do a webcam and you will receive my report electronically, I would do it. And all I'm saying to you is that it's the same scenario with people. It is not that we don't have any regard for the institution, you know. It's just that the necessary measures to access it are measures that we would prefer not to. I went to Canada. I never went to England Parliament. But I went to the Canadian Parliament. And they arranged for us to go and watch part of a day sitting. And I went and I got searched and I went in and I sat down and watched the day sitting. I agree with you that there's a context that you get and there's a feel that you get from being there. Because the camera only gives you one perspective, but you are able to look across, right? For example, there's a member of the Canadian Parliament who is a paraplegic, right?
Yeah.
And you're able to see his eyes move and the intonations that you would not get if you were not there. So I agree that it is a benefit, but Mark, what I'm saying to you, is that I went as part of a group and that's what we were supposed to do. So in a sense, I didn't have any choice. But if I had a choice... Right? If I had a choice, I would much prefer to watch a debate in a coffee shop with earphones on my head and I watching it in my phone.
That's you, Peter.
You know? When I'm ready to express myself, I can. You know, if you want, use the expletive, you can, but you can't do nothing so in there unless you're a member of parliament like you were.
Can I close by telling you this? That all parliament, House of Assembly in Barbados, is not even adaptable for what I would say disabled people. Our parliament does not even allow people who are disabled to enter and at least access within the halls of parliament. I am saying that this is a different age. And I leave this to the public of Barbados to judge this call. That I'm of the opinion that the same way you are of a public figure, the same way the place you function, the same way you function on my behalf, I should have access to. Even if I have to go through what is known as the proper security scan, yes. But you cannot see a parliament where every day people walk past every house there. People walk past parliament like it's non-existent. It is time that we let the public know they have access to go and hear a debate of importance. And I put that to the public.
Mark, all of the people who are on the blog or on the chat are saying they disagree with you. This one fella said all the long talk. I prefer to watch it home because I have a phone. So that for me is a no-no. So people much prefer the environment. I support what Madison Douglas has said, but I think that if we were able to televise the court cases, the High Court and the Madison Court cases, I think a lot of people would be happy to stop home and watch them too. Because I think it's important that we are engaged in these processes. It's just that the accessing of the processes is a pain. People don't like lining up and don't like getting searched. The fact that you like it ain't a problem.
That is why so many millions of people sit to watch World Cup football live. Watch even though it's on the system. That's why millions of people sit down to watch cricket live, even though it's on the system. I'm saying there is a complete difference of being where you are at the particular time and watching elsewhere. There's nothing to tell me you can be in two places at the same time.
All right, Mark. Fair enough. Let's see if we can get one call in before we go. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hello, Mr. Wickham.
Yes, sir.
Hello, good afternoon. Well, I just want to make a point in relation to going to the beauty of going to the house to debate. At least the beauty of going to the house is to go to a debate. What would be the purpose of going in? I used to go to the House Assembly to watch when I was a youngster in school to watch debates because there were some epic debates that took place in the House. I mean, I enjoyed Tom Adams and Al Borrow. What would be the purpose of going to watch a debate now? What was the purpose? I mean, you have 30... There's nothing else to I wouldn't waste my time.
You're being uncharitable. You're saying there's a Puerto Rican parliament and that's the reason why you're not going?
No, I'm not saying that.
What are you saying?
I'm talking about the debate. I'm talking about a debate.
Oh, so you're because saying that there's no debate because there's just 30 people saying the same thing.
There can be no debate now because there's nothing to go in there to hear it debated.
No, it will get a little boring for time.
I would not waste my time. I mean, I would love
so you're going to the Senate for a debate?
Listen to me. I enjoy Tom Adams and Al Borrow, Whitney Haynes, Dr. Haynes. I mean, those are wonderful times. I mean, even the days of Mr. Motley. I mean, Ernest Stanton Motley, Frank Walker. I mean, when I was here, it was a joy to go to Parliament and hear these people.
But they're in a disagreement now.
Hello?
They're in a disagreement now.
No, I would not waste my time to go in the House now to hear debates because there's no debate. That's all I'm saying.
But that's a different story, though.
Hello?
That's a different argument.
Yes, one thing is that, to me, I wouldn't waste my time because I like the cut and thrust of debate. The Tom Man, you would always...
I have to admit that I would miss it. You know, I miss that, and I mean now it's really essentially like a monologue. But I don't know that the public of Barbados decided that they had too many arguments in the past and that they wanted a monologue.
Mr. Vickham, even with Mr. Arthur, go back to Mr. Addy debate.
Yeah,
Mr.
Yeah,
Arthur.
I agree
it was
with
a
you.
Joy. It was a joy hearing Mr. Arthur in the House Assembly.
So you got to focus on the Senate now.
I'm saying now that to me, that time I like very small, yes, but no, there's nobody to match her. In terms of a debate, this is what I'm talking about. She's a beautiful speaker, but I would love to hear a debate. Have some, you know what I mean, somebody on the opposition.
Well,
we
can have our debates here on Brass Talks.
No, but that's a joy. But I used to like to go.
So
to
you've made a valid point that you know the excitement of the cut and thrust is going to be gone for some time because there is really only one side. But do you think that is enough of a reason that you would want to have an opposition just so that you can have something to listen to?
No. What I'm saying, you need opposition, mean at least to challenge the government and, as you know, to play the role of an opposition.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what the opposition is a farce. What is there now is purely a farce.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's a waste of time. I mean, I wouldn't really go to hear him at all, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't see the point of it, really. I mean, you know, the biggest joke that I've seen for some time.
All right, sir. Thanks a lot for calling. An interesting perspective, you know. The electorate does what they do, and it is what it is. So you got to live with this for 5 years. You never know, maybe even longer. All right, we have to take a break now for the latest. We come back to you in about 5 or 10 minutes, and then we continue until 1 o'clock. We do hope you'll stay with us. Welcome back to Dr. Brass Talks, 434-1780. Of course, we continue until 1 o'clock, so we only have about 15 minutes. But I want to get a couple of things in fairly quickly. Firstly, this gentleman is telling me, it amazes me that God doesn't support the flogging of children, but God told King Saul in the book of Samuel 15:3, "Now go and smite Ichmael and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay them both, man and woman, infant and suckling ox and sheep and camel and ass." Yeah, that is truly amazing, huh? Then my good friend Patrick, this is not Patrick, this is not Internet Patrick, this is Patrick Cozier. Yeah, Patrick was querying my comment about the strongest seat being St. John. My analysis, Patrick, proceeded on the basis of a couple of assumptions. And one of them is that the third party support and the Democratic Labour Party support will to some extent be blended in the next election if the third parties are not present. Because my reading of it was that the third parties took support from the Democratic Labour Party, which is a conversation in and of itself. So in terms of my own analysis, what I've done is I've subtracted the Barbados Labour Party support, which is where I assume that any negative swing will materialize, from the core support of both the DLP and the third parties. So it's on that basis that I came to the conclusion that the strongest DLP constituency right now would be St. John. And that is not only based on that analysis, but also based on the percentage support, because St. John basically has 58% support for the Barbados Labour Party, which would be the strongest. The other two St. Philip North and St. John, St. Michael Northwest are in the 60s. So that would be the basis of the assumption I was making. But it's a useful point, and thank you for pointing out and giving me the opportunity to clarify what was being said. Someone is telling me about the fact that in order for there to have court security, that one has to be searched. And they don't see the problem because you have to have security where criminals are present. And I certainly have not suggested for 1 minute that there should not be searches. I think the searches are necessary and relevant. What I am saying is that if I can avoid being searched, I am not going to go. And if I have a few minutes to spare and I have an interest in either a parliamentary debate or a court case and it's available on my phone, I will watch it there as opposed to going. I acknowledge where Mark is coming from regarding the context of the debate. You get a far more rich context in Parliament. But the reality is that for us, the effort involved in catching the bus and putting on shoes and putting on clothes and going on there. You know, the great thing about the internet facility is that I can be watching Mia Motley debate Reverend Atherley, and I can be commenting on my page, and I can be expressing myself by virtue of the comments on my phone that I can let people see and benefit from. And, you know, you have a virulent conversation going on. In the last election, that too was also fascinating, that we were watching BLP and DLP meetings and people were commenting on the sidebars and giving us the benefit of their views on what was being said, which is something that you cannot get when you're actually there. So it is a different world we live in now. And I think that, Mark, you will very soon realize that there's no big deal about the fact that the public gallery is empty. People are listening. It's just that they're listening differently. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon?
Yes, good afternoon, ma'am. How are you?
How am I? I don't know. Neither here nor there.
Okay.
I kind of love him on the poker poker.
Poker poker.
Poker poker.
Never heard from him in a while.
Apparently, he's Italian.
Okay.
Anyway, I have a challenge. I was placed in a neighborhood after having some problems, domestic problems with my father, mm-hmm. in an urban home. And the neighborhood that I was placed in, it didn't have too good a reputation, but I wouldn't say where it is because I make any trouble for saying that. Anyway, there is a business in the neighborhood where a lot of people park, and there was this one time that a gentleman parked over by me, and I felt it ain't really peaceful to him, and I said, you know, I don't mind you parking, but if you're going to park, just park in such a way that if anybody else comes to me, you know, the person could get in. And he decided to go and tell the business owner to whom he had gone. I don't know what he would have said to the person, but the person came out and said to me, you know, in a very aggressive manner, I can't display over the airways, mm-hmm. that this is government land.
Colorful language.
Powerful language, and mm-hmm. he's a very strong person. He said to me, this is government land, and I can't tell nobody where to park. On other occasions, he has threatened me. I have called the police, and all that the police does, they come for me, they take me to the mental hospital. The doctors tell me that I'm psychotic. There's another case where it was this gentleman whom I had went to school with one of his daughters.
You have knowledge of yourself being psychotic?
Sorry, was that psychotic? They are saying that because I don't know if they're doing it deliberately or they don't believe me that I was threatened. I don't know what it is, and I ain't trying to figure out.
Okay.
Because I don't have any family. My mother is dead, who abandoned me from the age of about 4 years old, mm-hmm. and the government had to intervene because of an abusive father. You understand me? I have a family member who is also a nurse, and she said to me, after having a pleasant discussion with her, all mm-hmm. he was thinking, I claim that I'm mad, but she's more mad than me. But I want to get on to the other point as quickly as possible.
Please do, because you only have another minute. So
okay, another minute?
Ahead. Yeah, you go ahead.
Anyway, so this gentleman is...
All right, you see, the problem, ma'am, is that once you go down that road, then we have a challenge, because you can't make those kinds of accusations about people. This sounds like something that may very well end up before the courts, and as a result, we can't take it. So let's move on. Thanks a lot for calling, ma'am, and I hope you can get a resolution to your matter. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Not as good as you, for sure.
Well, you may be better.
I watch a People's Business program. I think about the guy that had on a young economist, and I think the girl from the UPP, the lady from the UPP, Crystal Austin. And generally, the composition of the panel was well selected, and it mm-hmm. offered a lot of depth and analysis and clarity, and in a language that a layman like myself could easily grasp and digest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, the young economist on the program, I don't remember his name, but he suggested that, in fact, he, in my view, he exposed the philosophy that people, ordinary people, should not expect any public services to be free at the point of delivery. But I said to myself, he should first ask himself who the money belonged to in the first place. Mm-hmm. Because in the first place, the money belongs to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And we should expect, in fact, I would say we should even demand a portion of that money is spent on the well-being of the ordinary folk, whether it be in roads, healthcare, etc. After all, I mean, Peter, if a government can extract over $2 billion from a population of approximately 300,000, should the people then be treated as a, and I'm very careful about this phrase, as a human inconvenience?
Mm-hmm.
And we know the parallel to that phrase. Mm-hmm. And secondly, the mini-budget that the Prime Minister just offered, we recognized even before she did the budget that it will have to be a Buckley's budget. We know, I know, I think most people do, and we understand why the medicine needs be bitter, but at least now we can be hopeful that it would work. And I think that hopelessness is a serious thing, because when people reach the point of hopelessness, they have nothing else to lose. I heard the same lady, Crystal Austin, a young lady, on two occasions now. And I am pleasantly impressed with her erudition on matters of public import. I hope she acts with the foresight that I anticipate she has and becomes a registered member of the party that the vast majority of our fellow Bajans have overwhelmingly placed their confidence and trust in. Like Stan Lee of Marvel Comics. Of Marvel, you know the Marvel Comics man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has a thing, enough said. And I think that my words to her is enough said. But I'm very impressed with how she delivers herself on the topics of which she chooses to speak on. And I think she's one for the future. I can't help but seeing a triangle of her, Marsha Carroll, and Cynthia Bradshaw acting in the best interest of the party. I know time will not allow, but this resignation of the leader of the opposition that we just saw, Nazim Burke,
yeah.
Man, that is very interesting to me. I know that you would want to make some comment on that before the end of the program, because nobody raised it, so you probably thought no member of the audience was interested in the circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
But I am, and I would really like to hear some comment from you on his decision to finally, because this is the second time that they've lost the election of a single seat.
Third.
So, you third?
Third, yeah.
Well, I can see what would motivate him.
Not third, the second consecutive, but he's third.
I thought I was right in saying the second, but it's the second consecutive. So I really would like to hear at least some brief comment on that circumstance from you, because it does interest me.
Yeah. No, I mean, I had said earlier that I think it's a good thing. You know, when you've been rejected twice, you know, no matter how nice or to use Guy Hewitt's words, congenial you are, the fact is that you're not going to make an impact, because this politics is about winning and doing well. And he hasn't been working out. So, you know, suffice to say, that's it. It is what it is. Right?
Well, it wouldn't be generous of me to take more time, even though I am. That's a long time.
I appreciate that, because it's only about 4 minutes remaining, and we want to see if we can get
him. Some of us still want to get him, but you will be with us again, I'm sure.
I'm sorry?
You will be with us again.
Oh, no, Dennis is telling me to let you continue. Yeah. Because we're close to the end, so you can make another point.
Thanks a lot for having encouraged me, though. Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right, sir. Thanks a lot for calling. I have one comment that I was supposed to make from the beginning. A lady met me on Sunday, and she asked me. Actually, I attended a lecture at the Barbados Labour Party League of Women. They had a lecture on Sunday by Elizabeth Thompson, who spoke on women in politics, and it was an issue that I have been engaging at a different level academically on behalf of three institutions recently, and I'm rather fascinated by the subject matter. So I was anxious to hear Liz Thompson's take on things on Sunday. And she did a very good presentation. You know, she spoke to the practicalities of women in politics and what they do, and of course demonstrated the extent to which the Barbados Labour Party women have done better than the Democratic Labour Party women over time. And I think that few of us can disagree with that assessment. And of course, there are reasons why. And that's probably where I should spend some time doing research and writing on what the different reasons could be why that was the case. But it was interesting to hear it. One of the ladies in attendance asked me to comment on the fact that Bronx Beach has now become like so many other beaches where they're covered in beach chairs. And she's asking about the logic and the rationale behind this whole beach chair phenomenon. And I think from my perspective, my concern is the fact that the NCC is essentially taking money from people where they are given permission to then have beach chairs. And the idea of your permitting someone to put private property on public property is a part of it that seems a bit odd, but that's always the way that we have done it. But her concern is that Bronx Beach is now becoming a place that, you know, doesn't seem to be they're hospitable to Barbadians. Barbadians don't seem to realize that they can also rent beach chairs too. But for some reason, when we go to the beach, we are objecting to spending any kind of money. We're not renting beach chairs, and we feel that we should have space to sit down as well. So that's it. That's it for me for today. Special thanks to Mr. Dennis Johnson, and also special thanks to all of you who called and made the program what it was. I do hope that you're looking forward to a great weekend. It's only Tuesday, but it's the last time you'll hear me before the weekend. So whenever it comes, do make sure you go out and enjoy it. Crop over in full swing, and I hope that you'll be getting to the various activities. And as always, please be careful out there.